Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream Podcast,
where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media.
I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Hi, everyone. This is Mario Carrasco, your host on the New Mainstream Podcast. Today, we have a distinguished guest with us, Darren Horowitz, founder of 1010, leading brand implementation firm that specializes in helping organizations plan, build, and manage brand change. With a proven track record of delivering measurable results in brand optimization, Darren's expertise spans across Fortune 500 and global brands. Excited to have you on. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Mario, thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, Darren, kick things off. We were just talking a little bit. I'm really interested in your work, but one of the first questions I ask everybody that comes on is, a little bit about your role in 1010, and maybe share with us your career trajectory. How did you get here?
With a lot of help. A lot of help. From many different people and different versions of what I do, but thank you. So 1010, as you said, we're a brand implementation firm, which is really just we do a lot. So I don't want to diminish what we do, but it's a fancy way of saying that we help get things done, right? So if one is going through a rebranding process, we're really focused on closing a gap between the brand identity work that a design firm might do and getting the tools, the brand, everything that one needs into the hands of those in an organization that actually use the brand, and ultimately external audiences as well. And so my journey was, I actually started in television talk shows. My career started at Geraldo and Montel, where I was a booker and a researcher, but I grew up in a television household. My father was a news producer. So I saw how things worked from that perspective of everything was time-driven, time-sensitive, a lot of pieces coming together. And I think as I transitioned from television into the world of branding back then, it was more production work. I was building files and templates, and I was working behind the scenes. But what I recognized was that there was an opportunity, as I say to people, to go from production to producer. And so really what I became I think pretty good at was starting to understand a little bit of everyone else's language to be able to bring it all together and translate it into how we come together to launch a brand. So whether it's working on the client side in all their different departments, whether it's their IT team, their legal team, their marketing team, or working internally at the agencies to understand how the design team works, how the strategy team works, even the naming people, and really start to think about how to tie this all together so that it flows smoothly and that we can work together to be successful in launching a brand. And I think probably came a little bit out of self-preservation in that as a production guy, we were often given a deadline of something where they said, we need this tomorrow, we have no budget and no bodies and no time. And I said, whoa, hold on. Yeah. I was part of that process to make that decision. And they said, well, that's where we're at. So I got a little tired and frustrated by doing it that way. And what ended up happening was we started to turn the process around, work backwards and say, okay, if we have a deadline of this date, what do we need to get our job done? Let's then work with others to make sure that they have time to get it done and budget. And ultimately it put us at the front of the conversation to really talk with people about what it takes to go through a rebrand from a timing, a budget, a resource perspective. And again, all of this was just so I could protect my own team and making sure that somebody didn't say, I need 80 files by tomorrow morning and we're launching a brand, good luck. And so in doing so, I got, again, with the help of many others, I got very lucky. I'm very fortunate. I got to craft what I felt was working and important and unique and turn it into an offering for different agencies and then ultimately turn it into 1010, where this is all we do day in, day out. In the last almost 9 years, we've helped over 100 companies go through a rebrand, which is more than I've done in my entire agency career combined. So I feel really, really lucky to help people go through this.
That's incredible. And Well, one, the Geraldo and Montel, that brought up some memories. I haven't thought about those shows in a while. That's awesome. Alcone's
Balt or a fight on stage or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. The good old days, right? Before social media influencers, that was our viral content, right?
Or as I would say, you know, a lot of war stories would come out of there, and you know, it was always nice to go out to dinner with friends. And of course, oh my gosh, you work for Geraldo? What's that like? Kind of what you think it would be like. You know? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Though. I had a good time.
And then, so I want to delve a little bit into the work. So, do you focus only on rebranding, or do you ever get into launching a brand from scratch?
Sure. So that's a great question and a nice distinction. So to us, it's the same approach, whether you're rebranding, you're launching a brand from scratch, you're spinning a brand off, you're acquiring a brand. To us, the process that we go through to help organizations is very similar. The inputs drive different outputs, but the concept is the same. If you're taking an existing brand and going through a refresh or a new identity, that's a rebrand. But so we just helped Moody's launch. They just launched 2 days ago. So we're in March. So they would have launched on Wednesday, March 6th. And that was a whole new identity that they were going through. And they brought us in to help them go through this rebrand. In the case of GE, they split up into three companies about a year-ish ago, and we were brought in to help them build their brand from scratch for GE Healthcare. So they were, yes, it was a rebrand, but it was a whole new company. So that was going from a place of something much newer. And then from time to time, we're brought in on startups to help them think about net new. How do you build something from the ground up? It's a little bit of a different exercise. Typically in those situations, budgets are a lot tighter, and so you have to be much smarter in how you go to market with a net new brand and what you really need and how you spread your dollars out a little bit. But again, our process to take people through that exercise is no different whether you're a startup or a GE Healthcare or Moody's. It's the same concept of what do you need, how long is it going to take, who's going to do the work, and you know, big ones like how much does it all cost. So everybody has the same question.
Yeah. And I, this is a good segue into, I wanted to dive into, you have, you know, your specific five pillars, but before we get into that, I feel like, so our listeners, you know, we have the spectrum of research, marketing, DE&I. So taking a step back and talking about what is branding, I feel like most people that are not in marketing, they're like, branding's a logo. Especially when you talk about stuff, branding's colors. Tell us what's your perspective? How do you define branding at 1010?
Excellent. I'm glad you asked. And you're right. Most people, and especially many senior leaders going through a rebrand, are great. We swapped the logo. We're done. No, anything but that. So yes, your logo is obviously your identifier, but to me, and I've heard this from others, so this is not something I made up, but it is something that I believe in. Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And so, yes, there is the logo, there's your color palette, there's your photography, there's what you say, there's how you say it, there's how experiences come to life. It's how people internally and externally experience your business and their takeaways from that. Do they want to go back and continue working with you? Do they have a positive experience? Can they tell others about who you are in a way that drives loyalty and sales and growth or employment? Or are they going to sit there and complain about you, which is a lot easier to do, I think. People tend to talk about the problems that they experience rather than the successes. But when you do it right and you really take the time to think about what that means, having every single piece connected back through a through line, all the way driving back, not just your brand, but to your business strategy, I think what you get out of that is customer loyalty, employee loyalty, belief that you're doing good things. And so a great example, everyone defaults to this, but I think it's because it's a great example, is if you think about Apple. and the experience that one has with Apple. For the most part, you know, walking into an Apple store, what to expect. You know what the product is. You know that you're probably paying a premium for this, but you're doing so because you're loyal to the brand and the product and the experience. And really, you won't experience many problems with it. It's not to say that they don't have their problems. I'm sure they do, or that we haven't had tech glitches. It happens. But for the most part, you can rely on it. And that's what keeps one coming back to buy more and more Apple products. So I think they do a really good job of it. There's plenty of good examples. People every now and then screw up, or they make mistakes, or they launch the wrong ad with the best of intent, or they say the wrong thing because they shouldn't be speaking. And that impacts your brand negatively. And we're aware of that. So all of those things combined play into it. If a CEO says something, people are listening. If they're a public company, Wall Street's listening. Their employees are listening. And we've seen in recent times plenty of examples of people putting their foot in their mouth when maybe if they just kept quiet a little bit, the brand and the product might have come forward as a better experience, more consistent.
No, you're right. I mean, everybody defaults to the Apple branding, but it's a great example. And I'm an Android user, which is rare, right? For especially for founders, I get bullied by colleagues all the time that I have the green bubble, right? But when you compare the products, I'm sure I'm going to get some pushback saying this. Android really is a better product, right? Like I have a Google Pixel, it's far above any Apple phone. But the differentiator is branding, right? It's branding. I mean, my camera is better, my phone's better, but it's that branding is tough to get away from.
We have a debate internally as well. I've got someone on the team who is a guru in all things technology, and he says the same thing. But to your point, there's recognition. It's not that Google doesn't have their own branding, and you know, obviously does extremely well, and they get into many different things. I would argue that maybe the Google experience to a consumer is different based on how you're interacting with Google, and which part of the business you're experiencing or which products you're experiencing. But yeah, I know I'm wouldn't even begin to debate you on the quality of products, not my area of expertise. I trust you on that one. But I would say that, again, going back to the point that we're both making, Apple certainly has done a great job as managing expectations on what you should be experiencing, to the point where I will say this, I'm bought into Apple. Everything I have is now Apple integrated. And to make a switch is it's a bigger decision, right? It's, you have to think about, oh, it's not just the phone. How does that work with my headset, my computer, my family, my plans on the phones, all of this tie into everything. I think they've done a really nice job of bringing us in under the Apple tent and keeping us there and trying to keep us happy. But yeah, if the product's better, sure. You've just made my case that much stronger.
One thing I'm personally curious about, like you're working with these big brands going through rebrands, launching, you know, or in G's case, breaking up into separate companies. And what is the impetus for most brands to rebrand? Is it time, you know, hey, this brand is getting old? New competition in the market? Like, you know, given your experience with these huge, like iconic brands, what are some of the drivers for?
Sure. So first off, we work with brands of all sizes. The big ones are easy to talk about because people know them, but there's plenty of small brands that we've worked with that you've never heard of. There's local and regional healthcare systems that you wouldn't know. There's, you know, friends and family who have their businesses that we help out too, because to me and to this company, I love what we do and I'd like to help anybody do it. And the big brands, you know, bring us in for a lot of work, and that gives us some freedom to be able to help out nonprofits, which I love doing as well. And so again, the concept of going through an exercise like this is common from big to small. to address your question, I think there's probably a few different scenarios or reasons that one goes through an exercise of rebranding. It doesn't mean it's right, but it does happen. So there's a few in there. So first off, acquisitions and spinoffs. Those are things that might drive a rebrand. I would say thinking about your business strategy to the some of the points that you were making, is your brand keeping up with your business? If your business is very forward thinking, if your business is very digital focused, is your brand able to support the needs that go with this, or is it a very dated print-based brand? And therefore, you might need to think about expanding upon this. I think that there's opportunities to flex the brand for different strategic needs from advertising campaigns. It's not to say that you change your logo with every ad campaign, but it's to think about the tools that you have in your arsenal and will they work for new strategies. If you think about acquisitions, maybe your brand is not set up to handle acquisitions of new products or businesses, and therefore you have to rethink how they fit in the fold. So we had one company, Helen of Troy, who you may not know, but you probably know their product brand. So OXO, Hydro Flask, most recently or more recently Drybar. These were all major brands that Helen of Troy owned. And so they weren't necessarily getting the credit needed for owning these brands or applying the Helen of Troy brand across all of them and showing a connective tissue, if you will. So there was a need to rethink their brand to tell its story differently and use the brand as a proof point for being a different company and a different advancing their business model. And in doing so, the design followed the business strategy. So I'm going to do a really poor job of describing this to you. You can look up helenoftroy.com and see this, but basically they took the wordmark Helen of Troy and they created, it was our team, created a frame, a holding device. And the idea was to show how all the products could fit into this shape as one larger company. So at a small size, it was just Helen of Troy with the window device. At a larger size on signage and larger print pieces or the website, all these hero brands that they had could fit within there and show the connectivity. So that was a business decision. And I think it was a great one. And I think it was a way to refresh everything. I think given your business, you know, you talked about diversity and inclusion. I think as society changes, maybe you need to think about how you're portraying yourself or portraying your customers by thinking about how you stay modern and fresh. And so I think there's opportunities in there. That doesn't mean you have to go through a rebrand. I think that's an opportunity to think about to what degree you're refreshing your communication tools. And so maybe this is not about a logo change. It's about a photo library or a color palette or a font being refreshed. Little things like that. Just a simple thing in the case of American Airlines, not through 1010, but back at the agency, in the agency days, worked on the rebrand of American Airlines. And one of the things that was a real shift was American Airlines used to have all caps in their headlines. And they were trying to make their brand more approachable and really thinking about this. And so one of the design decisions was to go to sentence case because the statement was, why are we always yelling at people? All caps is shouting at somebody. Well, that may not have been the case when that brand was originally thought up. But as you start to think about, we go digital, we're on social, all caps is yelling at someone, it's emphasizing something. And so the decision was to become more approachable by going to sentence case and not yelling at people in print or digital or things like that. In the case of the Army, they went through it. They were trying to show they had to solve a recruiting problem or a challenge, I should say, where they wanted to appeal to potential recruits in a more modern way. And so they just went through a rebrand refresh about a year ago. And that was there was a strategic reason was to demonstrate they were a more modern Army and they wanted to reach people in a different way. So those are big ones. I'll give you the last one, which is maybe not always the best answer. You have new leadership and new leadership wants to show a new vision and a new change, and they want to potentially put their DNA into a brand, which I think is great. It comes at a cost when you do so, meaning there is a literal cost to rebranding. So it just has to be balanced out. Is this something that demonstrates enough change to drive shareholder value or growth? And is it worth it? So I guess ultimately, what's the ROI? But that would be the last reason that I would think of.
Yeah, I think what I like what you're doing is you're always connecting it back to business needs, right? I think so often I'm guilty of this as well as a researcher. You think of branding as just a nice to have aesthetic, right? And not necessarily connected to business strategy. But good branding done right, to your point, is connected to a business strategy. That doesn't mean to say it always has to be. Maybe you just want a refresh, but that refresh has to be reflective of where you're at a business or where you want to go. So that's a really great learning there.
I think that's right. That's my belief. Is it? You start business strategy defines brand strategy defines your name, your voice, your visual identity. And again, going back to some of the original questions that we were talking about, of what defines your brand, and I would say ultimately what makes it a good brand or a consistent experience is having that throughput, that common thread through everything that allows you to make smart decisions down the road, where you're using these things as a litmus test or a filter to say, should we be going in this direction? Ultimately, one could argue if you have your brand strategy and your business strategy set and aligned, any sort of business decision around acquisitions, you could run through those two filters to determine whether the acquisition would be a proper thing to do, or whether it just doesn't fit into your portfolio properly. And therefore, it's not to say don't do it, but you have to rethink then what that means and how to approach it. It's a different exercise. But yeah, I believe that. But you know, there are times when, hey, it'd be really cool if we come up with a new tagline. Okay, great. But shouldn't it drive towards something? Because you're speaking of taglines, and sorry, just not to go off on a tangent, but advertising and taglines evolve over time, and they have their own strategies and their own KPIs. But your brand should be the foundation that everything is anchored to, so that you can flex it, but there's a shelf life implied in those things. And so don't get confused between something with a shelf life and marketing appeal and a strategy versus something that is the core essence of who you are and how you handle your business, your culture, your employees, who you're looking for to hire, and who you market to. But the execution of that, I think, can flex, but it always, again, has to tie back to the same points. Otherwise, people will be really confused by it.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I'm thinking of some confusing companies.
Oh, do tell.
From an acquisition perspective, but I won't call them out.
Do tell. No, no train wreck stories. Got it. That's okay. No,
I was doing some desk research the other day, and I found a company, and it was like a digital media company, but they owned an outdoor sports brand. And I was like, it was so weird because I'm familiar with both companies. I had no idea that one owned the other. But
that's really interesting though, right? Because you had no idea that they were related. So maybe there's an example of where you don't need to tie the two brands together because they're actually two different unique businesses with their own brands that work independently just fine. And yes, there's a holding company or an operating company or a subsidiary. But the point is that you didn't muddy the waters. I'm presuming they weren't muddying the waters by trying to force one into the other. So that's actually a really interesting example.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I was familiar with both in different capacities, so it was interesting. But I want to dedicate a little bit of time. You have your five pillars of successful brand implementation. Tell us a little bit about what those pillars are and why they're crucial when going through this rebranding that we're talking about.
Yeah, and we touched on this just a little bit, but I'll elaborate. And it's some pretty basic things, right? If you're going through a rebrand, there are basic questions that you need to address. What do I need to pull this off? And that starts to think about, well, what are you branding today? And therefore, you can think about what brand tools are needed to empower people to migrate to a new brand, making sure you're protecting your investment, which then leads to, okay, so how long will it take? And this is really thinking through not just a conversion timing exercise, but also the time frame that it takes to build these tools. So if I were to think about just a simple PowerPoint template, right? Understanding, what do I need? I need a PowerPoint template. Great. How long will it take? Well, is that how long it takes to make new PowerPoint decks, or is that how long it takes to make the template? Well, it's both actually, right? Because one will drive the other, and that'll help you set up a timeline of when you can launch your brand knowing that you need it. The next thing would be, so who's going to do this work? So we work with organizations, we uncover, we do exercises around cataloging everything they brand. We organize these things into like kind pieces, and we start to talk about what they need. Then we say, okay, based on what you need, here's the time frame. All right, now who's going to do this work? Well, we can do it. Can you? Because not only is it a technical know-how, which let's presume you have the technical know-how, but we just put a timeline up as to when you're going to launch your brand. Do you have the bandwidth to get this done? Because it's on top of your day job. Oh, right. So there's a conversation of who's doing this work, which then starts to think about, okay, well, once this work is done, how will it get deployed to everybody? How are we getting the tools into everyone's hands and making sure that they have what they need, not just from a template, but also an education, an engagement, a conversation, a dialogue, a way to ask questions and get answers. So how are we getting this all out there? And then, of course, this last one is, and how much does all this cost? And so these are really the five things that we try to address. What do I need? How long will it take? Who's doing the work? How will we get everything out there? And of course, what's the answer to, and how much do I need to earmark for this over what period of time? And I think you need to have those things in place, even in a wireframe shell-like format. You need to know that these questions are coming. You really need to start to think about addressing them proactively to be successful. And if you don't, among many other things, your phone's going to be ringing off the hook with people saying, I need, and you're constantly going to be on your back foot. You won't have budget put aside for this. You won't have a team in place to solve the problems. And more importantly, nothing's going to feel like it belongs together because everything will be treated as a one-off solve. So I think it starts with this idea, what we would call an implementation plan to address these questions proactively. And just start to think and prepare people for what is about to come. Most people, I don't know, have you ever gone through a rebrand before in your experience?
Yeah. I feel like we're still going through it.
Right. I mean, what kept you up at night when you were going through this and thinking through like, oh, where do I even start?
So this is actually a good lead into my next question. I feel like the rebrand was kind of the easy part. Mm-hmm. It was the adoption internally, rolling it out.
Getting people to understand why or how.
Why, or both. And then integrating it in sales and marketing, the way that we speak about the company, right? Because we went through a big rebrand and it was really just bringing the brand to where we were as a company, right? Because we hadn't rebranded since we launched. And now we had a much better idea of who we were as a company and our mission and our value and our clients and our proposition, right? But people have been talking about our company internally for a certain way for a decade. And so I'll still get into documents like, this is not the tagline, or I'll listen in to a sales call. Hey, we don't say that anymore, right? And so that was the toughest part for me. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but
your answer? No, actually, I would say a good plan accounts for those things because it starts by define. So I think there's some basic things that people need to be aware of when going through this. The first and foremost is going back to this. The business rationale is why. Why are we rebranding? It's a why story. Why are we doing this? And chances are you're going to you will get questions like, and why did we do this and I didn't get my raise? That's always a big one, right? So it's thinking through what your employees need to know. The second thing is to take that and start thinking through some key objectives. And okay, this is what we want to achieve. Now, sometimes it's shedding bad habits. Sometimes it's getting credit for all the great work that you are doing. Sometimes it's because we have so many acquisitions, we want to be seen as one organization, but there's always some higher level objectives. So, okay, why are we doing this? What are the objectives? Now you want to start to think about who are your audiences internally and externally, and what are their roles? So if you think about this from leadership, what's the expectation of leadership? From a power user who uses your brand every day, what do they need to know? From the general employee or a sales team, they have a role in this. So now you need to start to define the role. And when you do that, you can then say, okay, if here's what I expect of each of these groups, what do they need from me to be able to pull this off? And that's how you can start to think beyond just, I need a PowerPoint deck, I need a set of guidelines, I need a logo. But, oh, in order to ensure adoption, let's proactively think about what their needs are and then start to solve those problems. But I'll give you the biggest misstep that we often see is that organizations don't bring people to the table to just ask them the simple question of what do you do? And so I give you my favorite. This is, I haven't used this as an example in the longest time, and maybe I'm meandering, so forgive me and you can stop me. But As you start to think about, and this is in the context of, okay, so how do we define the connectivity between I've got all the right tools, I've launched, now I have to seek adoption. I think people want to do the right thing. And so I always use the example of, do you remember Undercover Boss? Did you ever see the show Undercover Boss? You know, okay. Yeah, so just
I still watch the reruns.
Love it. Okay. So just for those who maybe haven't seen it, we'll give a quick summary. The idea is that it's a TV show, a reality-based TV show where there's a CEO sitting there saying, people are making mistakes with my brand. I need to go into the field and I need to fix them, meaning the people. So the whole premise is, right, they get the CEO goes undercover and they put him into the field. So let's just use a restaurant chain as an example. And, you know, maybe the CEO gets there and what you see is, okay, so there's people milling around the hostess stand and it looks like chaos and you have people walking into the restaurant. They see too many people. They just turn around and walk out. It's taking too long for people to get their food to the tables or their drinks to the tables and there's no service on the floor. Things like this, right? So the CEO gets in and they start doing the job and they start learning that their staff wants to do the right things. The problem is if they had implemented a buzzer system or a pager system at the hostess stand, people could go outside and wander around, freeing up the space internally, which then becomes more inviting to bring people in and say, how long for a table, get a number, and they're not crowded there. We think about maybe, you know, servers on the floor. Well, the challenge is they recognize they didn't have ordering stations throughout the floor. So every time you had to place an order, you walk back in the kitchen, you're manually doing this, and the CEO realizes, oh, you know, if we just had a register or a computer right here in the middle, I could keep people going back and forth if I had food running. So anyway, the point being that they start to recognize from the employee's point of view where the challenges are. And what they realize is it's not the people. It's that they haven't been given the right tools or understanding to do the job properly. And I think that's the big miss is oftentimes we work with organizations and we say, okay, let's uncover what you're doing. Oh, no, we know what we need. Okay. Do you? I mean, have you talked to the other person? Because if you talk to them, chances are you'll learn something. And more importantly, you'll get their buy-in from the get-go because they're now a part of this solution. So I think going back to your point, I don't know how you went through this process, but I think it's a journey that you take people through of engaging them. We have something coming up. I'm not going to show you the beautiful new designs, but I'm going to tell you what's happening. I want to uncover what your needs are to be able to pull this off successfully. Here are my expectations. Here's how we're going to engage with you and give you the tools that you need. Here's how we're going to teach you about things during the time frame of before we're launching, we're building the brand, but we're going to have you focus on other things that we can share with you. And then afterwards, we're going to follow up with you to empower you to ask questions and tell us what more is needed. And we're going to check in, not from a gotcha point of view, but more from a what's working, what's not, what more do you need from us point of view. I think, I don't know if you went through that exercise or if it would have helped you.
And I think, you know, hearing you out, I think that's the mistake we made, right? Like, I don't think we engaged our team, you know, core leadership and on the onset. It was more like, hey, we're going through this almost when we're almost ready to launch it, and didn't give enough time to gather that information on the front end. And so, yeah, that's
two good things. One, you're not alone. You are not alone in that. And two, it's never too late to start thinking through engaging employees and having a dialogue or a conversation with them and evolving where you need to be. It is okay to do that now. So if you have started thinking that way, I think that's fantastic. If you haven't, I think there's an opportunity to start to think about culturally, how do we bring this brand forward and infuse it into what we do? Not only, I think not only as a culture or an organization, but also from the tactical side of things. What more do you need to be able to pull this off? And here's one. How long ago did you guys go through a rebrand?
Oh, how long has that been?
Years, months?
Be almost 2 years.
Okay. So now's an opportunity to do an assessment of how is everything working. And just to be honest with yourselves of, you know, we can throw everything on a table theoretically, and is it working? Does it feel connected? Is it bringing our brand to light in the way we want? To do some focus groups internally with people and say, how's it going? To just take a pulse on, do you understand what our brand means, or what does our brand mean to you? And ideally what you'd want is people to be able to go home and talk to their families at dinner and explain their job in a consistent way, regardless of what part of the organization they're in, big or small. But yeah. Anyway, I'm sure you know this, but it's an opportunity.
I love that you're bringing it to a real example. And I think, this conversation is going to be helpful to our listeners. And believe it or not, we're at our time. This has been great. I really, really enjoyed your insights there. And again, bringing it back to business strategy implementations, right? Branding is so critical, especially now in this world when it's, you have so much more competition, right? There's so many more companies being started. I believe branding is becoming even more important.
I will tell you, it is, I'll leave you with this. And one, thank you for the time and for listening to me and for the conversation. I love it. Obviously, I'm pretty passionate about this topic, but I will leave you with this. Your brand is more than the visual side of things and the strategic side. It is also your people. And I think to have what we would call brand empathy and understanding that people are trying to put your brand forward in the best light possible, but they have their own challenges. And the trick is to figure out how to help them overcome their challenges in a way that supports your brand and brings it back to your brand and business strategy and what you're trying to achieve. So the people side, really important.
No, I love that. Your brand is your people. Darren, thanks again. And thank you everybody for listening. If people want to find out more about 1010, you, what's the best way to connect with you online?
LinkedIn is always a good one to get to me personally. Our website is always good. 1010group.com, TENTENgroup.com. And there's ways to get in touch with us and learn about what we do.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform.